About 7 or 8 years ago, a pastor called me from Northern California, and he said, Brother Chapel, I'd like you to come and preach for us for a 3-day revival meeting in our church. And he said, it's going to be an exciting time. He said, we're going to set up an old-fashioned tent, and we're going to sort of put some sawdust around on the floor of the tent and have an old-fashioned choir. And he said, if you would come and bring some old-fashioned preaching, we would really appreciate it if you'd be with us. And I said, well, brother, let me pray about that. I said, it sounds like a wonderful opportunity. And I said, if you'll give me a few days to pray, I'll be glad to pray about it. I'm not able to do all of that all of the time, as maybe others can, but if the Lord would allow me to, I might be able to. He said, well, one other thing as you're praying about it, he said, I want you to know that the other speaker that's already confirmed to come is Dr. Lee Robertson from Chattanooga, Tennessee. And I said, brother, I've prayed about it, and I believe God would have me to come. Dr. Robertson's been a tremendous encouragement in my life, a great man of God. He's pastored the same church for 44 years, and in their life and ministry saw many, many thousands of people saved and baptized. And so I look forward greatly to being just around Dr. Lee Robertson and some of the informal settings that meeting would give to me. And I'll never forget as I got into the car the first night, Monday night, and we were to drive over to the church and where the tent had been set up for the revival meeting. And I had sort of determined on the way up there that I'd wait for maybe the first or second night after the service to ask him some of the questions I had written down. But you know, I was just so excited to be with him that I couldn't wait until later on in the week. And within about 60 seconds of being in the car as we were being driven to the meeting, I said, Dr. Robertson, I need to ask you a question. I said, I'd like for you to share with me really the key to what you believe God blessed in your ministry. I said, I want God to bless our ministry. What was the key in your mind? And of course, we oftentimes want that simple solution. We don't want to hear something like work hard or something like that, you know. But I was maybe looking for that special formula. And Dr. Robertson, I'll never forget, he turned to me in the backseat of that car and he said, Brother Chapel, he said, I want to encourage you with these thoughts. He said, you must learn in the ministry, number one, to die to self. He said, that means dying to criticisms, that means dying to compliments, that means just dying to self. And he said, number two, as you learn to die to self, then seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Seek the filling of the Holy Spirit of God. And I wrote those truths down, and I have found in these last 7 or 8 years when I am successful in applying those truths to my life that I have great spiritual victory. And the times that maybe I'm not dead to self or yield to the Spirit as I should be, I find that I am not as victorious in the Christian life as God intends for me to be. You know, I believe there are many people in this room this morning that if I was to sit down one-on-one with you, you would say, you know, Pastor, my heart's desire is to truly die to self, to mortify the flesh, and to be yielded to the Holy Spirit of God. That's really what I want in my life. But sometimes I struggle with the everyday application of those truths to my life. Sometimes we hear principles in preaching, and we hear principles from preachers and teachers, but then to apply those and to bring them down into the daily life situations, it's another thing. And this morning, we want to answer the question, how can we live the life of Christ every day? Living the life of Christ. As we continue in this series, Becoming Like Christ, how can we truly live out, flesh out, if you will, day by day in the everyday life that we live, the spiritual life of Christ? I want you to notice three things in Scripture this morning about the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, the life of Christ is a relationship to enjoy. Now, folks, we need to concentrate for a moment on this word relationship, because the life of Christ, living this out with Him, allowing Him to live His life through ours, is going to involve a relationship. You'll notice in John 15, 1, Jesus said, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Notice verse 4, abide in me and I in you. For as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. The last part of verse 5 says it this way, for without me ye can do nothing. Now, we're going to see this morning some practical ways to live out the life of Christ. But I want to be clear from the beginning this morning that the Christian life is not first and foremost a list of rules and regulations. It is not first and foremost a guideline. The Christian life is first and foremost a relationship. It is a relationship with Almighty God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, perhaps the passage that best illustrates that relationship concept is John 15, where we recognize that He is the vine and we are the branches. Notice, first of all, He is the vine. Jesus says, I am the true vine. That word true in the Greek is alethenos, which means the genuine vine. There are many vines and many different types of religions and many different types of gods, but there is only one true vine, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I am the vine. He says, secondly, we are the branches. We are to be an extension of Him. That is why when we preach a series of messages on becoming like Christ, He is saying, you cannot be like me unless you abide with me. I want my life to flow through your life. Verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you. Now, the Apostle Paul stated this reality as a testimony in his own life in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. The Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. That's that dying to self. That's that mortification of the flesh. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Paul's testimony was, the life that I'm living right now, it's Christ being lived out through me. And what a tremendous goal for every Christian today, that we would recognize that He is the vine and we are the branches, and that He wants to live His life through us. He wants you and He wants me to be a representative for Him in this lost and dying world tomorrow, wherever we might go. 1 John chapter number 2 and verse 27, it is stated in this way, but the anointing which ye have received is of Him that abideth in you. You see, God says, I want to anoint your life, I want to touch your life, and that's going to come by way of this relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. Now, the key word in relationships is the word abide. And we see that word in this passage here this morning, verse 4. Abide in me as I am in you. The word abide means to remain with Him. It means to spend time with Him, to commune with the Lord, to meditate with the Lord and upon the Lord. Now, in our upwardly mobile society, Americans today are not very good at abiding. We don't abide with anything real well at all. We are constantly on the move, from job to job, from spouse to spouse, from church to church. People are just constantly on edge, constantly moving, and doing what they think is the best thing to maybe be upwardly mobile with their lives. And yet, sometimes in the midst of those transitions, our relationship with God is lost in the fray. Sometimes as we're moving from place to place in relationship to relationship, we find that the Christian life, this abiding life, is less than what God intends it to be. Listen this morning, because some of you are very interested in building up a business, and some of you are very interested in building up a clientele. Some of you are very interested in perhaps building up your career. I want to share with you this morning, if you build all of that at the expense of becoming like Christ, then you've missed the main thing in this life. Because the main thing in this life is that abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. God is calling us to abide with Him. An airline pilot was flying over the Rocky Mountains some time back, and as they came over the Rocky Mountains, he looked at his partner. They were talking in the cockpit, and they were both Christian men, and the airline pilot said, you know why it's so white on these mountains, these Rocky Mountains? You know why they're covered with white? The other pilot, the co-pilot, said, no. He said, those are the church letters of all the people who've moved from the east to the west. They just dropped their church letter on the mountains on their way to California. You know, that's how it is with a lot of people. They make a move, they get busy, and on their way to the next place, they kind of forget about God. They forget about communing with Him, fellowshipping with Him, and serving Him. And we need to be careful of that in these busy days. God is calling us to abide with Him through Bible study. God is calling us to abide with Him through prayer. God is calling us to abide with Him through trials. He says to us, my strength is made perfect in your weakness, and I want to be with you even during those times in your life. So the life of Christ is a relationship to a joy. Jesus says, I want to spend time with you. I want you to know me. I want you to understand my word. Always remember that. The life of Christ is a relationship to enjoy. And oh, there is no greater relationship than your relationship and mine with Jesus Christ. Now notice secondly this morning, the life of Christ involves obedience from the heart. The life of Christ involves obedience from the heart. Now that's true in His life, and that's going to be true in our lives if we're going to have His life through us. The life of Christ involves obedience from the heart. Now, notice, if you would, the quote that is listed in your outline this morning. I'd like to draw your attention to this because it will help you to understand this matter of obedience from the heart. While the Christian life is primarily a relationship, it is clear to us that every relationship will produce its own rules. Every relationship generates laws consistent to the one we are relating to. Now, sometimes people will find out that you're a Christian. Sometimes other Christians will find out that you are a member of an old-fashioned Bible-believing church, and they'll say, well, you know, the problem with Baptists, the problem with fundamental Christianity is that it's all about rules, rules, rules. That's all you're about. Rules, 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 legalism and so forth. That's all that you're about. And we would say, time out to that. The Christian life is not all about rules, rules, rules. It's all about a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? But I want to submit something for the thinking Christian to consider today. And that is the fact that every relationship that's worth anything will have its own set of rules whereby the relationship is guided. Now, someone says, well, I don't believe in that, and I'm going to no church that has rules. I'm not about rules. I'm about freedom, baby. Is that how you operate your marriage, sir? Does your marriage matter? Do you have a relationship called marriage? And if you do, do you think enough of that relationship to have some principles that you live by? Or does your wife just... And all of a sudden, Mr. Freedom Baby is Mr. Impact. Because while he wants to be Freedom Baby at church, he is Little Wimpy at home. Now, maybe not to that extreme, but what I'm illustrating to you is that every relationship that is worth its salt is going to have some rules to live by. And the fact of the matter, whether it's your marriage relationship, whether it's your relationship with your children, or whether it's your relationship with God, there are going to be some matters whereby we must be obedient, whereby we must be submissive to one another if that relationship is going to last. That's why Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Yes, it's a relationship. No, fundamental Christians are not saying it's just all about rules. It's all about Jesus, my friend. The goal of separation is not to develop some kind of a set of rules. It is to become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the goal in this matter of living the Christian life. Now, notice, first of all, we are commanded to obey. We are commanded to obey. Notice John chapter 15 again in verse number 10. It says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You see, if we want to be like Jesus Christ, let's just put aside Baptists, let's put aside other names for a moment. If we just want to be good Christians this morning, then we're going to have to learn how to obey the commandments of God, because that is exactly what Jesus did in his own life. He voluntarily submitted to the rules, if you will. He voluntarily followed the will of his heavenly Father. My friend, that is not shallow Christianity. That is Bible Christianity, following the the Word of God. And the Bible's very clear about this. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my words. I'm going to tell you something. When I entered into a relationship with my wife, Terry, there were some things that she asked me if I would please do these things and not do some other things. And they're not in the sense of a commandment, but in the sense of a request. But because I love her, I have entered into an agreement with her on various things that I'm going to honor her in those ways. I'm going to respect her wishes. Why? Because our relationship has brought about certain guidelines and rules, if you would call them that, that help us to have a healthier relationship. And this brand of Christianity that is sweeping America that says you can have relationship, quality relationship with God, and yet bypass the principles of Scripture and live in an ungodly fashion is a cheap substitute for what God intends in the Christian life. God intends that our lives would become more and more like Jesus Christ. And that's not going to happen if we're not following the Word of Almighty God. And if Jesus followed the will of the Father, then you and I, abiding in Jesus Christ as the branches from the vine, must also follow the will of the Heavenly Father. So we are commanded to obey. But I've got even better news than that for you, because someone says, all right, God wants me to follow His commandments, but that is so hard to do. Pastor Chapel, that is such a difficult thing to do. I've got news for you today. Not only are we commanded to obey His Word, we are empowered to obey His Word. We are empowered to obey His Word. The Holy Spirit empowers us to understand and to live the life of Jesus Christ. Now, empowerment's a big buzzword in the secular world in which we live today, in the corporate world of America. People talk a lot about empowerment. And don't give me a job without giving me the authority to do it, and so on and so forth. But in the Christian life, all true authority is under authority, and all true empowerment comes from God. And God says, I'm going to give you a job to do, and I'm going to empower you, not with your strength, but with my might and with my spirit. Now, Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That word filled with the Spirit in Ephesians 5:18 means this. It means come under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. Even as a man that is filled with alcohol comes under the influence of alcohol, God says, I want you to be so yielded to my Spirit. I want you to be so filled with my Spirit that you are under the influence of my power. And friend, when we are yielded to God's Spirit, we're going to desire these commandments, and we'll be enabled to carry them out in our lives, not because of ourselves, but because of the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Two thoughts about this matter of empowerment. Number one, the Holy Spirit reveals truth to us through the Word of God. The Holy Spirit reveals truth to us through the Word of God. So He's going to say, here's a commandment God wants you to keep. He's going to show us the way to go. He is the teacher in the Christian life. He is the guide in the Christian life. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed unto them, unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us, how? By His Spirit. God says, I've got some deep things for you to see. I've got some great things for you to know, and I'm going to reveal them to you by my Spirit. Now, friend, the Holy Spirit wrote this book. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So God says, I've got some great truths for you, and I'm going to reveal them by my Spirit. But not only does He give them to us in this book, but then He gives us His Spirit in our lives that we might have illumination or understanding of this spiritual book. 1 Corinthians 2:14 explains that. It says this, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You know what that means? That means that a man that has never received Christ as his Savior, a man who has not the Holy Spirit in his life, cannot understand this book. But those of you who have accepted Christ as Savior, now the Spirit of God is in your life, And God's Holy Spirit is going to reveal truth to you as you read the Word of God. The unsaved man might think it's ridiculous to have a commandment of church attendance or tithing or giving or whatever the case might be. But to the saved man, the Holy Spirit reveals some of that to him and shows him the way to go in his life. And we must avail ourselves to the Spirit's teaching through the Word of God. God's Word is truth, and God's Spirit will reveal that truth to us through His Word. Now, a lot of distractions come in the way of our spiritual growth, don't they? A lot of scheduling distractions, a lot of traffic jams, a lot of difficulties come into our life. For example, we've just entered into football season, and now football season for some of you men means competition with learning the truths of this Word. All the ladies said, amen. Irma Bombeck said, if a man watches three consecutive football games, he should be declared brain dead. Now, some of you are saying, Pastor, I was really enjoying this this message when it was in abstract form, but now it's getting pretty pointed right now. It's coming down to the point. But what I'm trying to illustrate is that God's truth is not going to be revealed to us if we don't make time for that to happen. And God's Holy Spirit wants to come and guide and teach and show us. But we must be people of the book who will open it and say, okay, God, through your Spirit that is the author of this book and the resident in my life, I ask you to teach me from your word today. And John 14 and verse 26 says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Listen, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. My friend, the great teacher, the great illuminator of the Christian life is not the pastor. It's not the Sunday school teacher. It is the Holy Spirit of God. And you would do well to know him well. You would do well in your life to listen to his still small voice. You would do well to read his word and to say, God, I want to know your word. I want to know how and when to obey you as you lead me. The Holy Spirit of God will guide us into the truth. Secondly, the Holy Spirit of God will lead us away from sin. The Holy Spirit of God will lead us away from sin. The Bible says in Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. God says you don't have to be bound by the law as a way to go. You can be under the Spirit, which will guide you into the truth, which will lead you in the way of righteousness. Now, thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit, because as we obey the Holy Spirit, as we yield to the Word of God from our lives, then we can know what true freedom is all about. True freedom is found in the perfect law of liberty, which is the Word of God. And we will experience victory in the Christian life as we, like Jesus Christ, yield ourselves to the will of God Almighty. So the Christian life is a relationship to enjoy, knowing Him and walking with Him and abiding with Him. But because it's such a wonderful relationship, high and holy and lofty and lifted up, the Christian life also involves obedience from the heart. Because a relationship that is worth something will have guidelines to maintain its dignity, to maintain the way of life in the walk with Jesus Christ. Now notice then, thirdly, not only the Christian life is a relationship to enjoy, not only does the Christian life involve obedience from the heart, but thirdly, the Christian life requires endurance by His grace. The Christian life requires endurance by His grace. Now that's where some of you are this morning. You say, boy, I've entered into this relationship and I'm glad I have. And I'm trying to follow the commandments of the Lord as the Holy Spirit leads me, but sometimes the days get long. And I had a friend, Herbert, who he just stopped church entirely. And sometimes I wonder what it would be like to just lay on my couch on Sunday afternoon. And I wonder what it would be like on a soul-winning night or a church night just to kind of forget all of these religious and spiritual things. And sometimes it's hard to endure. Well, I want to tell you this morning that by the grace of God, you and I can be faithful until the last breath breathed on this planet. By the grace of God. By the way, that ought to be your goal, gentlemen, to be a finisher. Ladies and gentlemen, we may say, I've made some mistakes in the past, and we all could say that. But every one of us can say, I want to finish strong for my God. I want to endure this race. I want to finish for His honor and His glory. Now, notice two truths about this matter of endurance. Letter A, we can endure because of His Spirit and by His grace. We can endure because of His Spirit and by His grace. God's Holy Spirit leads us along and guides us along. You see, God has grace for every situation. Every situation you face, He's going to have a strengthening for you. He's going to give grace to you. I think about this matter of God's grace, and sometimes we need it when difficult and hurtful situations come into our life. I heard about a lady recently who went out and bought a new fall sweater and winter sweater, and she was really tickled with it, got it on a good sale, and came home, and she was showing it to her family. She had tried it on, and her son said, Mom, that is a nice sweater. You look just like the Wheel of Fortune. And Mom said, Son, I appreciate that, but I think you mean Vanna White. I look just like Vanna White. He said, No, Mom, you look just like the Wheel of Fortune. Now, sometimes that's kind of how it goes in our life, you know. Not the biggest ego builders. And sometimes people say things that deflate us. And sometimes discouragement comes. But the fact of the matter is that God has grace for every situation. Hebrews 4:16 says it this way. Let us come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Find grace to help in time of need. Thank God for His amazing grace. 2 Corinthians 9:8. This passage speaks primarily about giving offerings, but it really responds and reflects to the entire Christian life as well. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. God says, I've got enough grace to strengthen you to every good work that you would do in the Christian life. I have all grace abounding at all times so that you can do all things through Christ, which strengthens you. So God gives grace to each and every one of us in the difficult situations. But notice, secondly, God gives grace to the humble. God gives grace to the humble. Now, may I say that the humble are those with the mind of Christ. Because we learned last week, the mind of Christ was a mind of humility to come to this earth and to die for our sins. And God says, if you're going through a trial, sometimes the purpose of that trial is to bring you to the point of humility that you might appropriate the grace of God so that you might endure that trial. 1 Peter 5:5, but God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. In other words, friends, sometimes God will allow circumstances that we think are too hard to endure, God will allow those into our lives so that we will be humbled to the point that we will receive the filling of His Spirit, that we might have grace to help us in our time of need. And again, sometimes situations come that will deflate us, but allow us, because we've been deflated with self or from self, to now be inflated with His Spirit. And it is not until we are humbled to that point that we even sometimes think about spiritual things like we should. I heard about a pastor that was standing in the back of the church recently, and as he was standing back there, a little boy came up to him, and he kept saying, Pastor, here's the offering. Here's some money. I want you to take this offering. And the pastor kept saying, Son, there's an usher right over there. You give it to the usher, and he'll take care of it for you. And the boy kept insisting and kept insisting. Finally, the pastor said, Son, why are you insisting that I take this offering? He said, Pastor, because last night my dad said we had to go to church. He said, but you were the poorest preacher he'd ever heard, and he wanted me to know that, and I just wanted you to have this offering today. You know, sometimes pastors have a way of having their egos deflated, don't they? And sometimes we all have a way of having that happen in our lives. But you know the good thing about that is that when we realize who we really are, at that moment we can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Because God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And when we come to God and admit our weakness and our failure, He always meets us at the point of our need. He is drawn to a repentant and a submissive spirit. Psalm 51:17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, will Thou not despise. Now notice the quote in your notes this morning. Biblical obedience is not just compliance to some abstract law or rule. It is the submissive response to the person of the Holy Spirit, who has revealed the will of God to us through His Word. And sometimes it takes a point of humbling before we will obey God in that way, before we will listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit in that way. And so we can endure because of His Holy Spirit, and we can endure because, secondly, of His example. Now notice what it says in John 15:10 again. It says, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments." Again, Jesus Christ setting the example as one who endured. John chapter 4 and verse 34, Jesus saith unto them, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish my work." Jesus said, "I have come to finish the work." How many of you would say, "God, by your grace, I want to finish this work. I want to finish the Christian life. I want to endure for your glory." And Jesus is our ultimate example in the Christian race. James 1 and verse 12 says it this way, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him." I want to challenge you this morning. Yes, the Christian life is a relationship. And yes, sometimes that relationship involves certain rules and commandments. And sometimes along the way of living the Christian life, it's difficult and it seems like you can't go on. But you can endure by the grace of God. And you can endure by keeping your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The author of the book of Hebrews said in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, "Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the throne of the right hand of God." I'm saying to you this morning that we can endure as we are filled with God's Spirit, and we can endure as we keep our eyes upon Jesus Christ, who could have called 10,000 angels while He was on that cross. And He could have said, "Take me away." But there He suffered alone for you and for me. And He became our example in this matter of living the Christian life. Now, Christ-likeness is a matter of following the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a matter of becoming like Him. And it is the manifestation of God's Holy Spirit working in our lives and teaching us the way that we should live. And if we will be like Christ, and if we will be Christ-like servants, then we must be sensitive to the needs of others. And we must say, "God, help me to live for You in this day." It is a relationship to enjoy the Christian life. Now let me ask you this question. Have you ever entered into that relationship? Has there been a time in your life when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know Him in that way? It's a relationship to enjoy. But you must begin that relationship by trusting Christ as Savior. Once you have accepted Christ as Savior, then there must be obedience from the heart. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus than to trust and obey. And then thirdly, we can endure by His grace. And if you're here this morning experiencing trials and difficulties, let me remind you that God gives grace to the humble. God gives grace to help in a time of need.